Looking in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. From the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Glory to God. All right. The scripture that we're talking about is, or the teaching that we are having to do with is called the supernatural church. But this one is a little bit different. Let's call this particular teaching today, opening the door to supernatural provision. Opening the door to supernatural provision. Man, I got all this good stuff here. I don't want to miss giving you all anything. What time y'all got to go home? Okay. Yeah. You slept till 10, right? All right. Let's check this out because there is some good stuff in here and I want to give it to you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Now, for the next few minutes, and I don't know, you know, whether you're a member here or not, but just consider me your prophet. Just for the next few minutes that we're teaching here. And the Bible says, if you believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And if you believe his prophets, you're going to prosper. So just consider me for the next few minutes, I'm your prophet. Okay, he says over here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let's look at that same scripture in the NIV. Now, they have it up on the board. They'll put it up on the board for you. This is a New International Translation. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. I didn't misread that. Brings wealth without painful toil for it. Okay? Now, this is different. This is different than how Adam was living after he had sinned. Now, let's go and just look at that. And if you will, go to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, this is a case where God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 26, please. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fishes, he over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Okay? So, God is saying, let them have dominion. Them is mankind. So he doesn't have it. Dominion, authority. Dominion, rulership. Dominion, stewardship or caretakership, responsible for it. Dominion, ownership. Let them have it. I don't have it, says God. They got it. Now, with that thinking, one of the speakers in our International Faith Conference came through here, and they did a composite. They put together some of the speakers and what sound bites they made, some of the sound bites. And this particular speaker was Dr. Jesse Duplantis, and he said something. He said, God said to him, said, Jesse, I am God. He said, and Jesse, I have the power to take your life, but I do not have the authority. Now that's a tweet. I have the power to take your life, but I do not have the authority. He said, there are a lot of people that have come up here and said that, you know, people say the Lord called them home. He said, I didn't call them home. They called themselves. Now, I want you to see what he's talking about here. Let's go to Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. Now, this is when there was the children of Israel had been in the wilderness, and they sent out 12 spies, spied the land of Canaan. And they sent those 12 spies out, and the 10 of them came back with an evil report. Okay? They came back with something that God didn't say. Now, remember, where he's taking you is the impossible. That's why you need faith. Because faith connects you with God, and with God all things are possible. So wherever you see the impossible, just think about it. That's where your stuff is at. That's where my stuff is at. Got it. So the enemy makes it look impossible. So they come back and the preachers preach. The Bible talks about how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So I've been sent. And I'm going to preach. And I'm not going to preach something that sounds logical. If I preach something that sounds logical, you're not going to need God to do it. What I'm going to preach is going to be beyond your capability, glory to God, your natural ability to do it. So the enemy is trying to naturalize the church. And that's what people do. They try to go somewhere, they don't have to use 1 ounce of faith. Well, he's always going on a mission trip. Well, use your faith, praise God, and sow something into it. What are we supposed to do? So, look what he says in Numbers chapter 14, 28. Say unto them, this is God talking to Moses, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. All that unbelief you spoke, you're going to get it. Going down to the next verse, verse 28. Verse 34, pardon me. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for you a year shall bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. You shall know my breach of promise. I looked that up, breach of promise, in my center column reference. Here's what it says. You have altered my purpose. Little you can alter big God's purpose. Why? Because of your authority. Jesse, there are a lot of people that say, I called them home, but I didn't call them up here. Their mouth called them up here. Proverbs chapter 18:21. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. So notice what their tongue did. They were hung by their tongue. By what they said kept them out of 7,000 promises. And it'll keep you out. Jesse, I am God. And I have the power to take your life. But I do not have the authority. Let's stop talking about that. I am God, and I have the power to make you rich, but I do not have the authority. I want you to see this. It's not God holding back on you, because he's already got a promise in there that says wealth and riches shall be in your house. So he's already got the promise. So don't think, oh, well, I guess God. You ain't that special. You, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Bill Wentz, who came here with $200, and look at him now, then he'll do it for you. He is no respecter. But I made sure I kept my mouth right. Because I knew that if God be for me, no government No haters. None of that could stand against me. I've had them show up in my office. If I call the names, everybody in here will know it. Reverend, how did you do this? I said, the Lord did it. No, I ain't talking about that. I mean, how did you do this? See, they want me to say some political something. Don't need it. And I'm going to show you don't need it. Nobody's in my pocket but my money clip. Isn't this a wonderful thing? I'm not bad-mouthing people because we have some good people in office and so forth. But I'm just letting you know that, hey, wait a second. God is your source. And the devil's job is to get you not to see God as your source. All right, let's just work with this. Can we work with this just a minute? All right, so that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. How about Genesis 1, 28? And he goes on down. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So now God has given man all this earth. Okay, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. And in 2, verse 1, he says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Now, why did he rest? Because he was what? You mean he was tired? No, wasn't tired. He was finished. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. All right, so here's God. He's made everything. He made all these things on the 6 days and 6 days. And at the end of the 6 day, he made something or created something called man. We studied that. What is man? And so he created mankind. All right, so now this man is made like God. He's created like God. He's got the same DNA as God. He thinks like God. It's like God. So this man created to live forever, but God gives him a prohibition. He puts him in a garden, and he's created everything for the man. So the man doesn't have to go out and hunt anything. God has got everything for him. Now look what he says here. In verse 15, he gives him a prohibition. He says this, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took a man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. This is his responsibility. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the garden, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. So was man originally made to die? Nope, he was not. God told him, the day you eat of this, though, you're going to change the purpose. You're going to change everything. All right, so we go on down to chapter 3 and verse 1. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So this is Eve talking with the devil. How many of you know don't spend any time talking with the devil? I'm telling you, because he can reason better than you can. Right? Now, all of these things that God made were made to serve man. Then he made man. Got it? And put him in a body. Got it? The body is not man. As a matter of fact, look at, if you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Over in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, if you can't turn to these scriptures quickly, just write them down. Get the CD or something, but look on the board. But I keep under my body. This is Paul talking. He didn't say I put it under. He said, I'm keeping this thing under. He said, and bring it into subjection, lest as by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, I got to control this thing. Why? Why? Because this body in the Greek is soma, which means slave. So your body is a slave of your spirit and your mind. And it was designed just like these trees, just like this gold, just like everything else God created. It was all designed to serve you, not you serve it. It does not tell you how it feels. It does not tell you to go to the riverboat. It does not tell you. Now, you can go where you want to go. You're a free person. But my point to you is some places, once you get born again, your new born again spirit has the DNA again of God, and it's going to want to go to the left, and that body might going to go to the right. It might. The body says, it's 11 o'clock at night. I know I shouldn't have any pie, but give me that pie. The spirit says, fool, you don't need that pie. You need to go to bed. You've gained 10 pounds already in the last week. But you, come on now. Am I? Now, I don't. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to tell you that you have to keep your body under, not put it under. You have to make yourself get on that treadmill. And every time you try to get on there, watch your body say, you don't need that today. It'll tell you in 1 minute, you don't need that today. You've got to say, shut up and start walking. Praise God. Amen. We all have to do that first. We all have to do that. I was out there playing tennis, and this lady came out, and she was an instructor, and she was really thin. And she said, yeah, you look like you need to jump a couple of pounds. You need to get to... I said, I know it. That's why I'm stepping up my tennis game, playing more. She said, tennis not going to make you lose that pound. She said, you like tennis. Your body likes tennis. You need to get on that treadmill. I started to say, lady... All right. Don't be trying to lose weight with something you love to do. Okay, all right. That's enough of that. All right. Adam was created to live with an unlimited potential mindset. Now, that's very important. Unlimited potential. Because he was made like the Father to continue to create. Now, don't think just because you did something yesterday and thought of something, that's all there is. Folks, there's enough potential in you to last 1 million years. Every one of us. So, new ideas, concepts, new visions, you were made to have those things. So now here's Adam. The Bible says Eve ate, gave it to Adam, and he did eat. Now they've fallen. Now what did they lose in the fall? The first thing he lost was position. He lost his position. He was no longer the head. He was now under Satan's authority. And now he's in a bad place that supernaturally he's going to have to get out of. What else did he lose? He lost his potential, his unlimited potential. Now, mankind does have potential, but it doesn't have unlimited potential. With God, you have unlimited potential. Why? Because God is your potential. What else did he lose? He lost his fellowship with God. Couldn't talk to him anymore. You got the phone working? All of a sudden, the line gets cut. Hello? 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 Now, they're still on the other end, but the connection is broken. We can't hear God. And now he doesn't know God, so he fears God. So he runs from him, hides from him, the one that made him. And then as we go on down, he lost his ability to do what God wanted him to do, what God said. Why? Because he's getting put out of the garden. Now he loses his assignment. But here's what I want to get to. This is why this part of the teaching is called opening the door to supernatural provision. He lost his provision. Now he's in survival mode. All right, let's go through this real quick because I don't want to hold you long. And this that I'm going to give you, I don't want to repeat myself. I want to go over it one time and keep going. Verse 17, chapter 3. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And in sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. Now let's just use that verse 17 and start there in the Amplified. Let's see what it says. And Adam, he said, because you have listened to and given heed to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying that you shall not eat of it, the ground under you is cursed because of you in sorrow and toil, underline and put in your Bible toil, sorrow and toil, shall you eat of it, of the fruits of it all the days of your life. Next verse. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. Okay, so what is he saying? Adam, no longer am I your provider. You are your provider. You're going to have to bear the weight of all your own provision. Now, because of that, then the earth is resisting you, so you're going to have to struggle to get it. So in toil and sweat and struggle and whatever else goes along with that, that's the state of mind that you're going to be in. So you're going to be always looking of how to solve this provision crisis. So everything you do now, you're going to measure through whether I can pay for this or not, if I can do this, if I can afford this, so forth and so on. Watch this provision. It's going to overshadow everything. So 24/7, mankind has been concerned about provision. And that is what Jesus came to do. He came to redeem us. He came to take us back from being concerned about what we're going to eat and drink, how we're going to pay the rent, how we're going to send the kids to school. He came to take that off our minds. Why? Because when that's on your mind and that is the focus of your attention, then creativity drops down to all-time low and you cannot fulfill the assignment and purpose that God has for your life with a provision-minded mindset. Because you can't serve two masters. Now, are you here? All right, let's just keep rolling with that. Let's go over and see how Jesus came in and he introduced and start teaching on how to live independent of this. Oh, if I could just get enough money, so forth, how I can live independent of this kind of thinking, this anxiety. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Now, you just stay with me. Matthew chapter 6. He says first, in verse 25, he said, no man can do what? Verse 24. No man can do what? Serve two masters. All right. You were made that the master who meets your needs is the one you serve. You were made that way. You, no man or woman could exist without an overlord. You and I were always supposed to exist with an overlord. In other words, we were never sovereign within ourselves. We look to something higher. That's why if man doesn't have Jehovah God, he makes another God. He makes something because he was not made to exist without an overlord. He was just that way. Now, with the cursed system, mankind begins to see God as their source. With the cursed system, I got it now. With the cursed system, get out of here, devil. With the cursed system, mankind begins to see his job or people or whatever as their source because they don't have God. So this is the only thing that they have that they can rely on or trust in to give them some sense of security. But this job and the system that it's in is not designed to provide you with security. In fact, that employer is not there to make sure that all your needs have been met. Your employer is there to give you a decent wage and make sure that you have a decent wage, but they're not there to take the place of God. And what has happened is that we are trying to get enough systems in place that people don't need God. That they've got social this and socialism that and so forth. Now, hear what I'm saying. Thank God for the system. But what happened to God as being the one that we go to who's supposed to be the bread provider for humanity? And the tendency is that we have moved into a place where we're looking at that job and saying, boy, that thing is not paying me enough. Well, it was never designed to what God has planned for you. No job or company can pay you enough to live like God has planned for you to live. I'll say it again. No job or company can pay you enough to live like God wants you to live. Folks, when I didn't have any money, everybody loved me. Really. But all of a sudden, we start growing. And do you know people begin to come in my life and tell me what I couldn't do, how far I couldn't go, what I couldn't have, and that this is too much, and why you need all that shopping mall? You don't need no airplane to fly anywhere. You get on the commercial. All of a sudden, when I start moving up, they start telling me what I can have. Why didn't they tell me what I could have when I was broke? Because they're not concerned with it. It's just people being used by a system that is designed to hold you in slavery and make you think that what you got is coming from them and not from God. Now, I know that's a devil. I bind you in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you now that this whole idea of taking you away from God was started with Adam, but the devil is perpetuating it, trying to make you think that you can't trust God no more. You got to trust your social security. Your social security is only as secure as the world system that is built on. God's got a social security system that is not predicated on whether the economy of this nation rises or falls. And I'm telling you that his system is available to you right now. All you got to do is make up your mind. I'm going to get in this book and I'm going to see how to switch systems and come over here where God can be my provider. My God shall supply all my need. Huh? I'm telling you that this is a peace that the devil doesn't want me to get out to you. Jesus came and he preached it. And basically he's saying, no man can serve two what? Masters. And you see, when I start talking about this and talking about how you no longer have to bow down to a system that tells you what you can have and how far you can go. I'm going to give you a system, give you knowledge of a new system that you can work down the street here at Burger King and send all your kids to Harvard. Watch this, with no school loan, and pay cash for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the enemy's job is to get you to filter everything through labor. But he's saying, here, come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Over in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and adds no labor with it. Folks, let me tell you, the enemy don't want you to. So if you feel like you got to get up and run out, don't run out. Tell your body to shut up and sit down, because your spirit wants to hear this. This teaching is going to shift everything. Now, Jesus begins to teach in Matthew chapter 6 and then verse 25. Let's look at that. I'll just read it, and then we're going to go over here. Lord have mercy. Ooh-wee, I got some stuff for you. See, think about it. How much belonged to Adam in the beginning? All the earth. You read it. You read it, folks. It's in the book. All the earth. Now that Adam sinned, Satan took charge of it. Jesus is called the last Adam. How much did he get back? He hung on the cross and used the same word over there in Genesis chapter 2. It is, come on, finished. Question. Somebody said, well, it all belongs to Jesus. Well, look at what Romans says in verse 8 in chapter 16. Put it up on the board. I'm whipping through this quick because I ain't got time for it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you the child of God?
Yes.
You are not a servant. You are a son. Son means mature offspring. Look at the next verse. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who?
Christ.
I was speaking this week over in South Carolina, and I was speaking there. It was a word explosion, and I was speaking, and then Brother Copeland comes up after me and begins to speak. Before he started speaking, he called Chaplain Downing up, because Chaplain Downing is running the meeting. Major Downing, he's still on active duty in the Army, and he's running the meeting, and a lot of military people are there too. And so forth. It's packed meeting. And so Brother Copeland called him up. He said, God is telling me that whatever you raise towards the budget of this meeting, that I'm supposed to match it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When I tried to leave IBM, God said, I want you to go full time. I set a date. The date started coming. I tried to step out. Something said, baby, need a new pair of shoes. Whoop. Let me set another date. I did that 3 or 4 times until I meditated. Mark chapter 10 verses 29 and 30. No man that's of house, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, land, jobs for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Now watch this. I meditated that until the light came on. When your light comes on, your struggle ceases. See, you might be in here right now wondering, how is the pastor saying you can work at Burger King and send all your kids to Harvard with nuts, so forth and so on? I'm saying it because the light is on. I'm trying to get your light on. When your light is on, your struggle ceases. So that light came on, I called my wife and said, baby, I'm leaving this company. Whew! Boom, gone. Why? I saw more in front of me than I did behind me. I wasn't leaving a job, I was sowing it. The light came on. Until light is on, a person can read this Bible until they can't read it anymore. They're still going to struggle. That's how you can tell the light is not on. So what happened next? Brother Copeland says so. If God is telling me whatever you raise in this meeting, then I'm the match. I understand the light's on, see. So he doesn't see himself losing something. He sees himself gaining something. You can't obey God and lose. It's impossible. You can't, it's impossible, see. What happened next? He said, somebody just gave me an Escalade, cherry red Escalade. It's yours. 2014. Slapped him right on the chest. Boom, it's yours. And when he did that, I'm sitting down there. And then Sister Gloria is beside me, and then First Lady, his chaplain's wife, Inez, is sitting there next to you. When he slapped him on the chest, boom, it's like a spring shot her up out of that chair. Thank you, Jesus! I mean, she had a party right there around that chair. Now, wait a minute. This first thing my mind said, he wasn't talking to her. What? You saw it. He was talking to Al. He was talking to Chaplain Donnie. He wasn't talking to her. Or was he? Come on now. Come on. You got to go with me. You got to go with me. See, Chaplain kind of, wow. But he didn't do what she did. She came loose. Y'all know what I mean by that? Now, wait a minute. She didn't see keys, title, didn't even see a picture of the Escalade. But she shouted. And I'm telling you, God says, you have a more sure word of prophecy when he said it in his word, that's mine. Glory to God. You ought to be shouting all over the place. He said, he's giving you houses that you didn't even fulfill. Man, this is your time. This is your season. He's given you free Escalades. He's given you houses. Come on. He's given you good health. Come on. Now, oh man, wait a minute. Religion just comes to church. Not excited, about any of it. They just want to hear somebody else sing. Ooh, didn't he sing? Nah. Praise the Lord. And just as broke this year, they were last year, they were the year before, and the year before. Can't help nobody and can't help themselves. That Escalade is yours. Man, when he hit her, boom, she jumped up out of that chair because she's a joint heir with him. Everything Jesus got, you shout about it. I remember David, we were coming back from Minnesota. He was a little kid. He was coming back from Minnesota, and he was riding in the front seat, and my wife was in the back, and we had stopped to get some sandwiches or something, and I had some juice or pop or something like that as I was eating my sandwich, driving, and you know, all was cool. And so he ate his right quick and drunk all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving, but I see this hand move over in this cup holder and begin to get my, whoa, son, what you doing? He said, I'm just getting a little sip. I said, well, ask somebody. No. When he goes to school, he doesn't say, Daddy got a new car. That ain't in his vocabulary. That's our new car. When are you going to join the family? When are you going to receive See, unless you receive it by faith, God can't give it to you. I said, look at that. She did a dance for a while around that chair. She received it. How many people need to receive their healing? You need to receive your victory. You need to receive that new job. He said they didn't get in to the promised land because of unbelief. They wouldn't receive it. Nah, that's too good to be true. Escalate, nah, that's too good to be true. Now, the good thing about it is they didn't have to pay for it. Why? It's been paid for. So stop measuring his promises through provision. How long can I work to get this? And I'm telling you right now that this stuff is already yours. If you don't believe it, I can show you all the scriptures to back it up. Everything in this earth is yours. Jesus got it all back. He said, it's finished. Now all you have to do is receive it. The church should be the biggest landowners in any city. Biggest real estate owners in any city. So let's just see, can we close this out? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew chapter 6. How we doing? We doing okay? Well, when he did that, I said, now that's God. Not only did she get an Escalade, I got something to preach. But he said, whatever comes in this meeting, God told me to match it. He doesn't know what's coming in. It doesn't make any difference. If God told him to match it, God will give him what to match it with. All right, now look what it says here. Lord, have mercy. Verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Now, what is he saying now? He is saying, wait. Oh, hold it. Don't run after these things. These things are designed to run after you. You are the highest creation of God. Everything in it is made to serve you. Let's come all the way down. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what?
Faith.
I want you to underline that, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought. Now let's go to that. And let's go into Amplified in verse 31. Let's go and see what it says. Verse 31 in the Amplified, please. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles or heathen wish and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you have need of them all. Watch this. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all his kingdom. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of what? Doing and being right. Now we're going to go through this the next time. What are the steps for doing right? How do you get from God what he's already put up for you in a climate like this one, and one that is involved in an economic downturn? How do you get yours? Because it doesn't affect you. You're in a kingdom with unlimited provision. Now, one more place. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, please. And verse 20. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, Jesus came to restore us again. Say, he came to restore us. All right. So he came to get it all back, because it all belonged to you in the first place. Glory to God. Ooh, this is good. All right, look at this. I want you to see this. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. All right. He says this. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and he said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. All right, now what's happening here? There is a general idea that God does not want poor folks to give. That's the general idea. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Next verse. Let me try the next verse as well. Only if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. So the idea that the poor shall not give is not accurate. Mark chapter 12, please, in verse 41. Over in Mark 12, 41, here's a poor widow. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and they took up an offering for her. Now, but hold it now. Jesus did give to the poor. And he says he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. Didn't he say that? But notice this woman is hearing the gospel. And it's designed to take her out. Let me see how, what did I name this? Open the door to supernatural provision. It's designed for it. Now notice what she did. She threw in two mites. That's less than a penny, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. He said to them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Question, do you think she broke the power of poverty over her life with that? And I've been to Haiti, folks, and they are poor as dirt. And God told me, he said, now receive an offering. I said, man, I thought I was coming here to give them something. He said, receive an offering. Now, why did he have to say that? Because he had to say that because their way of getting out of that poverty was going to have to be through giving. Sure, we're supposed to help the poor, but somewhere the poor are going to have to help themselves. This is not a place where we just want to cripple people and let them stay poor, come on, while we make all the money. No, my friend. It's somewhere we got to help the poor get out of poverty. The last place, John chapter 6. Glory to God. I said, glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You can work at Burger King and send all 10 of your kids to the best colleges in the country. Because what you've got coming is not based on your salary.
Amen.
It's based on what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
This is good preaching, folks.
Amen.
Now, if your mind is fighting me, it's because you're on the other side. You can't see what I saw when I left that company. Now, here's the deal. Well, let me just show you this. We'll be done. Praise God. It takes courage to preach this stuff. Now, let me say this. If you broke, you need to hear this. Now, you need to hear it any kind of way. But especially if you're broke, you need to hear this. Because I'm going to show you how you can get out of this week. Listen. See, what do people want? They want what I got, but they don't want to do what I do. And I'm only telling you all of this because that you shouldn't be enslaved by a system that you waiting on a paycheck.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That paycheck is not your God. Your God is Jehovah. Jesus is your paymaster. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him, and he said to Philip, now where can we buy bread that these may eat? Watch the answer. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them to take a little. Whoa, what kind of answer is that? That ain't what I asked you. I asked you, where can I get some bread? And you gonna tell me how long I got to work. That's not answering my question. Now, I want you to see this here, because this whole idea of Jesus and what he's doing, he's teaching them how to operate like he's going to operate. And he's constantly teaching them how to do this. Lord have mercy. Put something right there. And look what he says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Over in Mark chapter 8. And just put it up on the board. I'll start there. In Mark chapter 8, he says this. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than how much? One loaf. How much you think Jesus needed? One loaf. I'm only telling you this is because you're under a covenant. I'll cover this next time. And a covenant, you can't cry and get the harvest. Come on. A covenant, you can't pray long enough for him to give you something. Come on. A covenant, you can't be needy enough for this thing to break. No, it won't break. A covenant only operates through practice. I've got to step out and trust God. I gotta trust God with what I've got. Here I've got. Watch this. Now here's something. Come on, Doc, Minister Weston. Now here I am. I gotta care, and I'm carrying that care. And this thing is heavy. So, but I have read in this book, I can cast all my care over on Him because He what? Cares for me. Put it up there. 1 Peter 5:7, please. Come on, somebody. 1 Peter 5:7. And so now He cares for me. So I've got to do this. Now this is a part of the covenant. This is the way this money thing works. Because if you don't master money, it'll master you. It'll tell you to lie. It'll tell you to work 3 jobs. It'll tell you money, because everybody's filtering everything through this. Now, what happens? I take my care and I cast it over on Him. I'm just playing now. I just cast it over on Him. Now check it out. Who's got the care? Can He fix my care if I don't give it to Him? Nope, because He'd be violating my authority. You've got to put it under His jurisdiction. And you've got that money in your pocket, it won't multiply. You've got to give it to the multiplier. And as long as it's in your pocketbook, He won't touch it. Now, you got to trust Him enough to give it back to you, and not only give it back to you, solve the problem. In Jesus' name. And He'll solve any problem that you've got. Turn it over to Him and just take your hands off now and watch it work, because He's going to work in a strange way that you ain't never seen it work before. God's got a million ways to bring your cousin to Christ. This is a covenant. It's a contract. I do my part, you do your part. Your part is to give. And what you do, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And I'm telling you, when we were buying this shopping mall, I said, God, how are we going to get it? We missed one closing. What are we going to do now? He said, what do you think you're going to do? See, Jesus did taught on this, and then He stood by to see what they're going to do. He said, okay, feed them. And He's going to see what they're going to do. How are they going to think? They were going to think like that old thinking that they just came out of, that stinking thinking. And Jesus said, they said to Him, 200 penny worth is not sufficient, that everyone will take a little. Now watch this. So what they're going to do, they're going to say, I'll work for 8 months. Now, if they work for 8 months, they're going to have to leave their assignment. So they're going to have to leave their purpose and go work for 8 months to get enough provision so that everybody can take a little. Somebody say, stretch it. I don't know whether you dealt with Kool-Aid before, but I was brought up in the South. And in the South, you get some Kool-Aid sometime, you trying to stretch it. You come on now, you got it so Kool-Aid until it done cooled down, and you it tastes like water. It's not God, because you done stretched it too much. And I'm telling you, we got a stretch mentality. We got a couch here that is a couch. We done put plastic on it for 4 times. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to stretch its longevity. We're trying to make it so this couch that's supposed to wear out in 3 years, that we stretch it and make it last for 30 years. I don't need you to stretch anything, saith the Lord. God God said, I got plenty of couches already paid for your little old house. And you come in and you want to get them all, you know, after you finish a loaf of bread, you save the little thing that you twisted with. Got all them little things saved. Save all the bags. Save all this. Come on. Come on now. I'm stretching now. I'm stretching. I got to make sure I have enough. No, my friend, when you don't work, God will work. In other words, if you rest, God can take care of it. No, no. You're going to have more than enough. You're going to, come on now. Let that couch wear out. Let people sit comfortable on that couch. That plastic is so hard you can't even sit your behind on it for over an hour. That thing is so hard. Take that plastic off that couch. Sit down on that thing. Wear it out. Go buy another one. Praise God and put it in you. Now, that's not enough that everyone will take a little. See? What did he say? He said, now there's a lad here with two fish and five barley loaves of bread. Jesus said, we got that much? He said, bring it to me. Well, that's the next thing you got to do. Figure out what you got. And then what? Bring it to me. You've got to give it to God. Because if it never crosses over into his jurisdiction, he cannot touch it. Try prayer. Somebody goes to pray. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them and you shall have. Father, I pray and I pray. Boom, I believe I receive it. Boy, I sure hope God answered that prayer, man. I sure hope you never gave it to him and it never gets answered. Yesterday or day before yesterday, we were supposed to go out of here to Midway and to South Carolina. What happened? Something happened to the airline system, the center, and so forth. Somebody sabotaged or cut the wires and fire and so forth. Nothing was flying. They told us we're supposed to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. Call back at 10 o'clock. We'll tell you how things are. Here's what I said. I called up my people and said, we leave it at 9. See, I knew if I left after 9 and left much later, I'll be late for my appointment when I'm supposed to speak. So what happened? After I hung the phone up, I got a call. Here's what my people say. Pastor, get here quick. They tell me we got a window of opportunity here. I said, I wouldn't doubt it. Praise God. What happened? I got there. We cranked the engine. Poop, took off and flew about 5,000 feet for almost 45 minutes to get out of the center. And then boom, went on up and landed down there and I preached. Now it's time to come back yesterday. And I got there and they said, Pastor, they just informed us it's a 5-hour delay. I said, crank the engines. We about to get out of here. Come on. See, when I said that, all of a sudden, we filed to South Bend, Indiana. And on the way to South Bend, somebody in the control tower said, hey, look like you can come on in the Midway. Just come on in. Now, listen, I didn't sit there, but I cast in my care. Of you always receiving a harvest. Because there is a place that you gotta listen for God. Because he might tell you go fishing. Come on, he might tell you to go borrow some empty vessels. But he's gonna give you your harvest. Now give God some praise because it's already yours. Hey! You just got an Escalade. You just got an Audi. You believe that he's done everything, and all we need to do is some shout. He told Joshua, he said, now march around this seven times. No, six times. And on the seventh time, march around this seven times. And at the end of the seventh time, I want you to do something. When you hear the horn blow, I want you to just shout. You don't have to do this. I've already done it. All you got to do is do the shout. Folks, we about to shout all the way to the bank. Come on, we about to shout all the way to the car dealership. Do you see how the devil tried to hang me up right in the middle of there? But if he tried to hang you up, hang him up. I mean, just keep pressing, just keep moving. See, come on, just keep trusting. Just keep. Job said, though he slay me, yet I'm gonna trust him. Now you remember, we've been dealing with little crumbs. So we've had almost a crumb mentality. Folks, when I talk about this thing got to be paid off here, it ought to be one person say, I got you covered, Doc. You ought to slap it down on your Bible. Pow! I got it paid off. See, we got to get on up in some big numbers. What God's called us to do, you can't do it crumbs. You need crackers. If there's anybody here and you know in your life that you need to be born again, thank God you've come. Because Jesus said, come unto me all who labor and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. You've come in here to find rest. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I came to the church. My provision thing was running me.